to listen to the
D-O-C-R, the voice of the Canadian Rockies. Tonight's host, the purveyor of political pontifications, Guru Nostra.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madame and messieurs, mes enfants. Welcome to another edition of VOCR Radio. My name is Guru, a.k.a. Colin Knight. We have a great show lined up, lots to get to tonight. So let's set up the board, open up the phone lines. We remind you, phone lines will be open for the duration of the show.
On air live, 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies.
We believe probable cause exists indicating that forgery and fraud may have been committed.
President Obama's status on Arizona's ballot is in question.
Our goal in the beginning was to prove this document authentic. The problem is the evidence have taken us somewhere else.
The Rockets went took our trip to Africa and visited his home country in Kenya.
I've spoken here last. Lots of ups, lots of downs, except for my approval ratings, which have just gone down. But that's politics. It doesn't bother me. Besides, I happen to know that my approval ratings are still very high in the country of my birth.
That Obama's literary agent of a book that was scheduled to be released in 1991, or booklet, states emphatically that Obama was born in Kenya and raised in Indonesia and Hawaii.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockies on blogtalkradio.com. Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com. 24-hour opinion line 240-696-6030 or on air live 347-324-3287. The purveyor of political pontification, Colin Knight.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the VOCR. Tonight, we shall examine the past week's political movers and shakers, both Democrat and Republican. And we'll take a look, of course, at Paul Ryan, the VP nominee on the Romney ticket. But before we do, let's get to email as we do each week. And Judy from Vancouver, Canada. Why do Albertans continue to pressure BC to be included in the environmental danger and destruction of their province by forcing pipelines down our throats when we don't want them or need them? P.S. Love your shows. Judy, Vancouver. Well, Judy, we had expected email pushback on the oil issue months ago, but surprisingly, other than Greenpeace and a few other piddly little activist groups, little email has been received until now. BC is without doubt a gorgeous province. The landscape and the majesty is second to none. The people from the province are some of the finest people in the world. The provincial capital, Victoria, on Vancouver Island, is unmatched for its beauty, and yearly flower displays in its parks are impressive. It's Canada's third most popular province, after Ontario and that place called Quebec. It's one of those few areas of the world where you can ski, golf, and jet ski all in the same day. But in my view, the problem is not with the citizens or the pipeline companies, it's with the Liberal government. Christy Clark, the premier of the province, has recently made a name for herself as opposing and refusing to discuss the pipeline with newly elected Alberta Premier Alison Redford unless there's a price in it for her. Unfortunately, provincial and federal Liberals convert every issue to a political ploy for election and re-election. The positive financial impact that a pipeline to the West Coast would create would most certainly kickstart a sagging British Columbia economy that has very high Liberal taxes, a provincial tax which is crippling your industry and holding an economy down, which in the long term has shown to increase the cost of living and the tax spending burdens. Now, there's a newspaper out in Vancouver called The Hook, and it reported on August the 7th that Prime Minister Stephen Harper says science, not politics, will decide the fate of the controversial pipeline project between Alberta and BC. However, Harper added that a pipeline between the two provinces is of vital interest to both Canada and British Columbia as the gateway to a new Asian market. Harper sidestepped to reporters' questions about the feud between BC and Alberta over the Northern Gateway pipeline project, saying the pipeline was subject to an independent environmental review process. Harper spoke with Premier Christy Clark about the issue, but wouldn't say what was said, telling reporters simply there would be no discussion about how to divide hypothetical oil revenues. The Prime Minister says his government will be making investments to ensure it is able to provide sustained and safe practices, and any connection to pipeline spills will be dealt with by the federal departments. The $5 billion expansion of the Kinder Morgan's oil pipeline already in place across BC is also now being opposed by Christy Clark. So, in my view, build the pipeline. Hold the oil companies accountable by way of some kind of environmental deposit, but get the workers in British Columbia back to work. Get the tax coffers back into the black and become the world-class portal to the Asian economy. Thanks for the email, Judy. Richard from New York City wrote, I follow your Facebook account and notice you post two or three issues every day about news. From what I can conclude, it is that you have three different feeds posting to your website: the Gazette and Spy and Opinions and Special Projects. Why would you not post one complete issue per day? It would cut down on your work and provide a stronger content. Well, Richard, the three or four feeds daily that come from different editors, you see, not everything which appears on the website is created by yours truly, although I do contribute to many of them. Items such as William Tells and Guru Says are independent observations which are usually weekly. Opinion pieces, as well as opinions of others, are processed as they are received. The Gazette and Spy, by the way, SPY stands for the Social Political Interactive Interface. They're compilations made by others and posted as required. Recently, the Gazette has become daily only because of the massive injections of links and stories from readers and listeners. Now, we're proud of the Gazette and we're proud of SPY because they are the people's news. Items, readers, and listeners believe that others may be interested in. Now, if you notice the two latter, Spy and Gazette, their stories from many sources, reaching into Asia and Europe, as well as the southern continent of Australia. This is the reach of our readership. So thanks for your email, Richard, and the opportunity to explain our feeds. Cam from California wrote, love your political updates. You must spend hours compiling. What's your favorite source? Well, Cam, much of what you read in our political sections are a result of information sent to us from a number of sources. We do use breaking news sniffer programs, which grab headlines and stories and send them to the compilation email address, and from there, the issues are put together. Great weight is placed on reader submissions, and MSM, or mainstream media, are secondary. So I hope that helped. Thanks for your email. Let's do one more. Sam from Orlando wrote, in the next federal election, do you think the birth issue will be front and center? Wow. As we reported, there are enough questions to make the legitimacy of Barack Obama as President of the United States questionable. Further, there does appear to be a collusion of MSM, mainstream media, to avoid the issue entirely, which smells to high heaven. Yes, the birther issue is important, but more importantly is the lackluster presidency Barack Obama and his Chicago gang have created or not created. They failed. They promised a better world, a better society, a more prosperous economy, and they failed. Well, Barack Obama and the Chicago gang have obviously failed. I mean, it's quite clear. They promised a better world, a better society, a prosperous economy. It failed. Now, some could say that any candidate would have failed given the worldwide problems of the global economy. If you listen to political audio chat at all, you would continue to hear that it's Bush's fault. Well, I beg to differ. Many of the actions of the Obama administration and its obvious contempt for the U.S. military and anyone who disagrees with them is alarming. Obama's plan of change has failed abysmally. His stewardship of the U.S. economy is in shambles, with banks failing daily across the U.S., and another issue that MSM failed to report. So in conclusion, Sam, yes, I think the birther issue and the legitimacy of Barack Obama is an important issue and should be considered when making a value judgment on who or who not to vote for. Everybody can send me an email. Anybody can send an email. It's just that simple. We don't hold it back. We allow people to send it to vocr2012@gmail.com. We invite your information. We ask for you to submit some information. We ask for your background. Let it be known. Let's know what you think.
You are listening to VOCR Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network. We'll be right back.
For every person who found a job last month, which was not a lot, 3 people gave up looking for a job.
Even though we all struggle to make ends meet, some being luckier than others, the pressure which surrounds our daily lives sometimes sends average citizens off the rails. But for the grace of God go I. There's modern saying that many citizens are 2 paychecks away from the street. The downturn of the economy certainly has not helped in reducing pressures on the home front. If you're doing okay, remember those who are less fortunate. Be considerate to their needs and their feelings. But for the grace of God go I.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockers on blogtalkradio.com. Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com. 24-hour opinion line 240-696-6030 or on air live 347-324-3287.
For every person who got a job last month, which was not a lot, 3 people gave up looking for a job.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockers on TerraChat Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification, Colin Knight.
Now, politics is a dirty game. We all know that. Last Friday and Saturday, all political eyes were on the impending announcement of Mitt Romney's running mate. 6 names had been bantered about by mainstream media, and many news organizations set up their boiler rooms attempting to scoop their rivals. When Paul Ryan was announced, the Democrats went into emergency meltdown scenarios, quickly attempting to paint Ryan as a fiscal conservative hawk. Axelrod and his cronies quickly issued negative statements, Chicago-style attacks, even showing a lookalike Ryan pushing a wheelchaired senior citizen off a cliff. Disgusting politics, which, as we all know, Axelrod is famous for. Democrats are claiming that America's elderly will have to choose between medicine and meal if Mitt Romney and his running mate Paul Ryan unseat President Barack Obama in November. The emotive message, which is also pushed in a new Obama campaign internet ad, is designed to paint Ryan, who has tabled proposals for reforming the Medicare program for the elderly, as a callous extremist. Now, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, chair of the DNC committee, the Democrat National Committee, told CNN that electing Romney and Ryan would force us back to the days when seniors were choosing between medicine and meal, choosing between health care and paying their rent. The rush to define the Republican congressman from Wisconsin could be decisive in Florida, a virtual must-win swing state for Romney and a home of 3.3 million senior citizens who vote in disproportionately high numbers. Wasserman Schultz, a Florida congressman, woman, denied she was being dramatic. If you go back to before Medicare was a safety net in place for our seniors, you had seniors who were not able to pay for their own health care needs. Those children went medically bankrupt when trying to care for them. Well, they're going medically bankrupt now. There's no difference. And Romney and Ryan are not talking about going back to before Medicare. Typical Democrat spin to put their garbage front and center. The charge is based on Ryan's budget reform plan, of course, that would gradually increase, are you ready for this? Oh my God, gradually increase the Medicare eligibility age to 67, starting in 2023, and replace the current system with a one based on vouchers. Now, this means that the plan, designed to be a long-term way of reducing America's almost $16 trillion national debt, would affect no one currently aged 55 or over. Now, some close to to Obama said that the choice of Paul Ryan was Obama's Armageddon candidate, and Obama was visibly upset at the possible impact that Ryan will have on U.S. elections and the Romney camp. News media quickly scrambled for dirt on Ryan, and in the absence of it, sent their attack dogs and doggettes to reduce the positive impact of the Ryan announcement. NBC's special little dougette, yeah, Andrea Mitchell. Boy, what a piece of work she is. In her attempt to put Mitt Romney's choice of Paul Ryan as his running mate in context over the weekend, she declared that the selection is not a pick for women. The comment quickly caught fire, of course, on the conservative blogs, and the Media Research Center pointed to it as an early sign of the negative coverage the Wisconsin congressman can expect going forward. Now, Mitchell made the remark Saturday as Romney was rolling out his running mate in Virginia, suggesting Ryan was chosen in an appeal to the Republican base. Mitchell said in her live report, and I quote, "This is not a pick for suburban moms. This is not a pick for women. This is a pick for the base." Well, if anyone has been unfortunate to catch Mitchell on NBC over the last few years, I dare say that Mitchell is not a choice of male viewers. She appears to be an angry feminist who has simply sold out. Her reporting style, choices of stories, and her mannerisms clearly show she is comfortable with following the DNC party line. Now, Mitchell earlier ran into controversy over her coverage of the race in June, when her program aired an edited version of Romney's comment about the convenience store at Wawa to make it sound like he was amazed that the store used computer systems to take a sandwich order. In reality, he was facetiously comparing the tech-savvy private sector to the clumsy government bureaucracy. More bias in media, or just the status quo of an aging female anchor who is on her way out? What's your opinion?
Now, one side in this campaign has been telling us that the issues of this election are the maintenance of peace and prosperity. The line has been used, "We've never had it so good.
I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying my mortgage. You know, if I help him, he's going to help me."
But I have an uncomfortable feeling that this prosperity isn't something on which we can base our hopes for the future.
The key point I'm making right now is that the economy is moving in a positive direction.
And yet our government continues to spend $17 million a day more than the government takes in.
You're telling me we got to go spend money to keep from going bankrupt? The answer, yes. Yes, I'm telling you.
You are listening to VOCR Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Good afternoon. I have enjoyed a full day of meetings with leaders of the government here in Great Britain. I've spoken with members of the government as well as the opposition. We've spoken about matters of foreign policy, domestic policy, economic outlook, and developments here in the UK and across Europe and across the world. I found the discussions to be enlightening and instructive, and have enjoyed the personal opportunity to come to know a number of the members of the leadership here in Great Britain.
This is VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies.
We believe probable cause exists indicating that forgery and fraud may have been committed.
This is voice of the Canadian Rockies on blogtalkradio.com. On air live, 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hard-working people out there. You got a business. That you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
TerraChat Radio Network.
We had a great show with Steve Nance last night on the Night Talk. First person abductee, if you get the chance, pull down the show and have a listen. We have reported the following issue a number of times, and it keeps festering. After many illegal aliens were ordered out of the country, thousands of criminal aliens from places like China, Cuba, Vietnam, Pakistan remained free in the United States to commit new crimes because their home countries refused to take them back. Recent crimes by immigration felons have lawmakers scrambling to punish nations that refuse to repatriate their own citizens. The Obama administration and many Democrats in Congress, however, are blocking punitive legislation, preferring to let the State Department handle the issue diplomatically. More signs that the immigration issue will just not go away and will most probably become a very major issue up to the November and beyond. What's your opinion?
VOCR2012@gmail.com. 24-hour opinion line 240-696-6030 or on air live 347-324-3287.
347-324-3287. If you get the urge, pick up the phone. We're always here. We're here for another 35 minutes. Republican lawmakers leading a congressional investigation into Operation Fast and Furious have filed a lawsuit in federal courts urging a judge to compel the Justice Department to turn over documents related to the botched gun running probe. In the lawsuit, lawyers representing House Republicans said Attorney General Eric Holder's refusal to comply with the House subpoena have prevented congressional investigators from determining whether the Justice Department intentionally tried to obstruct the investigation. After President Barack Obama asserted executive privilege over the documents nearly 2 months ago, the full House, mostly along party lines, held Holder in criminal and civil contempt of Congress. But with a Holder ally as the gatekeeper to criminal proceedings in Washington, the criminal contempt citation was virtually dead on arrival. DOA. So now Republicans are hoping a judge will enforce the civil contempt citation. So why are these documents being held under executive privilege? What is in the documents that Obama or Holder do not wish the public to know? Another issue which will probably figure prominently in November. Now, in a secondary story that mainstream media once again refuses to carry or even promote or show or tell you about, even though it's legitimate news. A high-ranking Mexican drug cartel operative, currently in the U.S. custody, is making startling allegations that the failed federal gun-walking operation known as Fast and Furious isn't what the American public think. It wasn't about tracking guns. It was about supplying them. All part of an elaborate agreement between the U.S. government and Mexico's powerful Sinaloa cartel to take down the rival cartels. Zambada Nibala claims that under a divide-and-conquer strategy, the U.S. helped finance and arm the Sinaloa cartel through Operation Fast and Furious in exchange for information that allowed the DEA, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and other federal agencies to take down rival drug cartels. Now, the Sinaloa cartel was allegedly permitted to traffic massive amounts of drugs across the U.S. border. From 2004, yep, the Bush watch, to 2009, yep, the Obama watch, during both Fast and Furious and the Bush-era gun-running operations, as long as intel kept coming. This pending court case against Zambada and Nibala is being closely monitored by some members of Congress, who expect potential legal ramifications if any of his claims are substantiated. The trial was delayed, but it is now scheduled to begin on October the 9th. The Obama administration, through the Justice Department, have tried their level best to get this case held over until after November the 6th, but it has been denied. So October the 9th is the opening day for the trial, and it's going to be explosive. The explosive allegations are being made by Jesus Vincent Zambada Nabarja, known as the Sinaloa cartel's logistic coordinator. He was extradited from Chicago last year to face drug and weapons charges. So, what do you think, huh? Could it be? Could the American government actually be supplying one cartel against the next to try and reduce drugs into the United States? And if so, would the United States actually give the cartel a waiver to import as much drugs as it could? Seems implausible to me. But we will see as this case unfolds. So, who do you think will be the next president of the United States? Check out our polls on the VOCR.com website, and let's see what you got. As we go to air tonight, an intense investigation is underway in Texas with another shooter. Texas A&M University says a shooter has been taken into custody near its campus in College Station. The university issued a warning on the website just before 12:30 p.m. Monday, warning of an active shooter near the campus football stadium, Kyle Field. The warning tells residents and students to avoid the area. At least one law enforcement officer and one civilian has been killed along with the gunman, according to Assistant Chief Scott McCollum. Now, this is by the College Station, by the Kyle Field. Police don't know if the shooter was a student at A&M. Thankfully, the campus was not its usual bustling student community, as most students were not on campus Monday because they don't come back to campus till I think it's about August the 27th, actually. So what do we know is three people are dead, including a gunman and a police officer and a civilian. This, of course, will be the ongoing story, which will again enhance calls for American gun control, another issue that shall figure prominently in the upcoming election. So, gun control, yay or nay, what you say?
This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies on the TerraChat Radio Network.
You're either part of the problem or part of the solution. Well, regrettably, President Obama has become part of the problem, and Mitt Romney is the solution.
This year, in this election, we are called to reaffirm our values and our commitments, to hold them against a hard reality, and see how we're measuring up the legacy of our forebears and the promise of future generations. And fellow Americans, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, I say to you tonight, we have more work to do.
I represent a part of America that includes inner cities, rural areas, suburbs, and factory towns. Over the years, I have seen and heard from a lot of family, from a lot of those who are running small businesses, and from people who are in need. But what I've heard lately, that's what troubles me the most. There's something different in their voice, in their words. What I hear from them are diminished dreams, lowered expectations, uncertain futures. I hear some people say that this is just the new normal. Higher unemployment, declining incomes, and crushing debt is not a new normal. It is the result of misguided policies. And next January, our economy will begin a comeback with the Romney plan for a stronger middle class that will lead to more jobs and more take-home pay for working Americans.
This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies on the TerraChat Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
You know, as we scoot around the internet chat sites and the internet storyboards and the news media, and we dig into the Times of India, the Australian press and the UK press, also Der Spiegel, and yes, Al Jazeera. As we look around this world of news and information, once in a while a story comes out that makes you shake your head a little. One such story. A Navy submarine commander is in hot water after he allegedly faked his death to end an extramarital affair. Yep. Navy Commander Michael Ward II, 43 years old, met the 23-year-old woman on a dating website last October. According to the Connecticut newspaper, The New London Day, Ward, who is married with children, told the woman he was separated and that he worked special ops. When Ward, who had only been named commander of the USS Pittsburgh a week earlier, realized he was in too deep, he allegedly contacted the woman by mail, email purportedly from a co-worker named Bob. And the email read, "I'm extremely sorry to tell you that he's gone. We tried everything we could to save him. I can't say more. I'm sorry. It has to be this way. He loved you very much," Bob continued. He goes on to say that Ward wanted her to have something. I bet he did. On July the 9th, she drove to Ward's house in Burke, Virginia, to pay her respects. only to find out from the home's new owner that Ward had merely relocated for a new job. The Chesapeake, Virginia woman said she contacted the Naval Criminal Investigation Service about the incident and provided copies of text messages and emails between her and Ward. She also provided them to the London Day. Text messages read, "I want you, but I don't know how to make this all perfect. And I love you, and always will," according to the newspaper. The young lady says, "I don't want revenge. I want everyone to know the truth about Michael. He does not need to be commanding a submarine. He's a deceitful man." Now, Ward has since been reassigned to administrative duties because of the incident. What a schmuck. I mean, really. What a schmuck. So, gentlemen, ladies, be very, very careful on the internet dating site. There are some really dirty characters out there, and just because they put up a profile, and just because there's a photograph there, and just because they say they're single or they're separated, they may not be. And if you play in those websites, those dating sites, well,
caveat emptor,
you're almost equally as responsible for the outcome, because there are not many positive outcomes from what I can understand. A story from New York City has our friends at Homeland Security scratching their heads. A man walked undetected across two runways and into a terminal at a busy New York City airport after becoming stranded on a personal watercraft in a nearby bay. Gets better. The New York Post reports that the 31-year-old swam to shore and then walked past motion sensors, closed-circuit cameras of Kennedy's airport, the state-of-the-art perimeter intrusion detection system that cost $100 million, which is meant to safeguard against terrorists. The man climbed a perimeter fence, made his way to Terminal 3. He approached a Delta Airlines worker who then alerted authorities. Until then, they had no idea of what he had done. The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey is, of course, investigating. The agency says it plans to meet with the security systems maker this week. Well, I would think so. Maybe this security system maker is going to be fined also for breaching their own security claims. $100 million to put in a security system that does not prevent this man from coming out of the water, climbing a fence, walking to Terminal 3, and talking to a Delta airline worker. Thank God he was an American. Thank God he was unarmed. And thank God he had genuinely broken down. What would we do if he had been a terrorist? Now, the man has been charged with criminal trespass, but I think the security firm should also be charged with failing to protect the airport as they had charged, as they had cost. I don't know. That's just my way of thinking. And Obama hailing NASA's mind-boggling Mars landing of the Curiosity rover, President Barack Obama urged the scientists operating the craft on Monday to phone home immediately if they find extraterrestrials. E.T. phone home. Obama spoke by phone from Air Force One as he flew to another campaign stop in the state of Iowa 8 days after the car-sized rover landed on the Martian surface. The touchdown followed a complex series of maneuvers involving intrinsically timed rocket firings, a huge parachute, and cables lowering the craft to the Mars surface. The two-year, $2.5 billion Curiosity mission includes looking for environmental conditions that might have given rise to life. However, as high-tech as it is, the nuclear-powered rover does not have the tools needed to detect living or fossil microorganisms. Instead, the rover will hunt for life's chemical building blocks. Interestingly enough, Obama, in his first few weeks of the presidency, gutted NASA's finances and canceled the shuttle program. NASA and its supporters were able to continue the Curiosity program because of funding acquired during the G.W. Bush presidency. The program had no assistance from the Obama administration. As temperatures around the world continue to point to a definite cyclical global warming, the visions of the Dust Bowl days returns to the U.S. breadbasket Midwest. There is increasing alarm over the drought hitting North America and the effect it's going to have and having on food prices. Officials from the United States, Mexico, and France will hold a conference later this month to discuss whether an emergency international meeting is needed. A French government official said the call will help decide whether to convene the first meeting of the G20's Rapid Response Forum. If the situation requires it, a meeting of this Rapid Response Forum could be called world. Are you ready for this? As soon as the start of September. It depends on the urgency, Reuters quoted an official as saying. The aim is to talk about the situation and avoid measures like export embargoes, which would be damaging for everyone. The body that was created last year to promote discussion among decision-level officials about abnormal international market conditions. The drought is the worst in half a century and has sent grain prices soaring. So, along with increased costs of transportation, complements of the oil crisis in America, and now weather problems, which has turned the Midwest into another dust bowl catastrophe, the G20 rapid deployment meeting will make everything better. These donkeys who control such organizations mention nothing about the cost of consumers, nothing about the loss of livelihood to the farms and the ranches who will be decimated by the dust bowl situation, only worrying about exports and international market conditions. The Obama administration have said nothing about the increased costs of delivering food or producing food on the domestic markets. Well, all I can say is, shame on you, Obama. Shame on you. I bet you don't go hungry at night.
This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies on the TerraChat Radio Network.
America's on the wrong track, but Mitt Romney and I will take the right steps in the right time to get us back on the right track. I believe that my record of getting things done in Congress will be a very helpful complement to Governor Romney's executive and private sector success outside of Washington. I've worked closely with Republicans as well as Democrats to advance an agenda of economic growth, fiscal discipline, and job creation. I'm proud to stand with a man who understands what it takes to foster job creation in our economy. Someone who knows from experience that if you have a small business, you did build that.
This year, in this election, we are called to reaffirm our values and our commitments, to hold them against a hard reality, and see how we're measuring up to the legacy of our forebears and the promise of future generations. And fellow Americans, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, I say to you tonight, we have more work to do.
Problem or part of the solution? Well, regrettably, President Obama has become part of the problem, and Mitt Romney is the solution. That America is a place where if you work hard and play by the rules, you can get ahead.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Well, the sound clip there from Obama was from 2004, and of course the sound clips of Paul Ryan were of last Friday, Saturday. Here's an interesting story for all of you free-thinking, liberalized women. Saudi Arabia are to build a women-only city. In a bid to reconcile strict gender segregation laws with a desire to increase employment and the opportunities for women, Saudi Arabia is planning to construct a new industrial city just for women, exclusively for female workers. Now, this according to Russian news agency RT. According to Asia News International, ANI, the municipality, which will be built in the eastern province city of Hafu, is the first of several women-only cities planned for the conservative kingdom. Women in Saudi Arabia require a male guardian's consent for a host of activities, including marriage, divorce, or even travel or driving a vehicle. The Guardian notes that segregated schools, universities, and offices are already common in the country. Now, according to some estimates, only about 15% of the current Saudi workforce is female, despite the fact that nearly 60% of the country's university students are women. Al Arabiya reports that 78% of female university graduates in the country are unemployed. It is hoped, therefore, that these new women-only cities will allow for women to work and achieve greater financial independence while gender segregation is made, The Guardian notes. The Saudi Industrial Property Authority, MODAN, responsible for the municipality's development, said in a statement that the site will be designed for women workers in environment and working conditions consistent with the privacy of women according to the Islamic guidelines and regulations. Here we go. The development is expected to attract 500 million rial, that's about $133 million in investment, and create nearly 5,000 jobs, according to the RT. The women-only municipality is currently being designed and constructed and is slated to begin next year. Now, the questions I have right off the bat is these women's work camp cities, are they going to be permitted to have children there? Will their husbands be able to live there? If so, it's not a woman-only city. If not, are they going to transport these women to these work camp cities and then drive them home again at the end of the day? Or is it a work in camp, come home, service your husband and family and go back to camp? So many what ifs. And frankly, I can't see it working unless, of course, the idea is to get all of the women out of society and into these work camps and work them to death and keep replacing them with what? If the women are in the work camps in these cities and the men are elsewhere, obviously very few children are going to get made, huh? And I bet you dollars to donuts, even with a woman-only city, they will still be required to wear the clothing that men think they should be wearing. Now, there is a shocking development on the Obamacare contraception mandate that went into effect in Oregon on August the 1st. Apparently, a 15-year-old, as young as 12 in some cases, can be sterilized for free without a parent's consent. Sterilized. Not reversible, but a permanent end to your child's ability to reproduce. Do you feel a 15-year-old is mature enough to make that decision? They can't legally drive to the clinic to have it done, or even legally engage in sex, but they can make a decision affecting their lifelong ability to procreate. Oregon Revised Statutes, the ORS, statute numbers 436.205 and 436.335 states, informed consent means consent given by an individual 15 years of age or older for sterilization that is A, based upon a full understanding of the nature and consequences of sterilization pursuant to information requirements set forth in ORS 436.225 paragraph 1, and B, given by an individual competent to make such a decision, and C, wholly, voluntarily, and free from coercion, expressed or implied, Oregon defines sterilization as any medical procedure, treatment, or operation for the purpose of rendering an individual permanently incapable of procreating. Yeah. Now, CNSNews.com reports that they have contacted the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and asked, can you confirm that under the regulation a girl as young as 12 must be offered the opportunity to obtain a sterilization free of charge? They also asked them to confirm what the Oregon Health Authority, the OHA, media contact Christine Stone told them, which was, in Oregon, the age of consent for sterilization procedure is 15 years old. They were told no one was available, of course, to answer their questions. The OHA provides the consent form for both boys and girls ages 15 to 18 to be sterilized. Now, the legal age of informed consent in this state is 15 years old. Can you believe this? Giving a 15-year-old the power to destroy her family's future? Can you believe Obama and his gang could conceive of such an atrocity? What if a young woman is having a teenage meltdown? What if they decide, based upon teenage anger and resentfulness, what if the teenager gets pregnant and aborts and thinks sterilization is the way to have unprotected sex without worry of ever getting pregnant? What will society look like in 20 years? What's your opinion?
24-hour opinion line, 240-696-6030, or on air live, 347-324-3287.
347-324-3287. And if you are picking this show up in archives at a later time, we invite you, our 24-hour hotline is 240-696-6030. Drop your opinion there and we'd love to air it at a later date. It's important, ladies and gentlemen, that we discuss, talk, and understand what's happening in our world. And only you can pick up that phone.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hardworking people out there. If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Good afternoon. I have enjoyed a full day of meetings with leaders of the government here in Great Britain. I've spoken with members of the government as well as the opposition. We've spoken about matters of foreign policy, domestic policy, economic outlook, and developments here in the UK and across Europe and across the world. I found the discussions to be enlightening and instructive, and have enjoyed the personal opportunity to come to know a number of the members of the leadership here in Great Britain.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hard-working people out there. You got a business. That you didn't build that. Somebody else.
I am going to predict that within the 4 years of my term, that we would get unemployment down to 6%. According to the president's plan, we're supposed to be at 5.6% by now, and he hasn't accomplished that. We're still above 8%. He said if we put in place a stimulus, we'd never go above 8%. We've had 41 straight months above 8%. Now, my plan is based on five key changes that will change the direction of our economy and will get our unemployment rate down and get our wages coming up again. And I'll tell you what the 5 points are very quickly. One is taking advantage of our energy resource. Number two is opening new trade for American goods and services around the world. Number three is scaling back the size of government, cutting the deficit. Number four is making sure we're getting human capital with great schools for our kids and training for our workers. And number five is restoring economic freedom by holding down regulation to those that are absolutely necessary and reforming our tax code.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. You are listening to VOCR Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network. Got a question? Want to make a comment? 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Stories that we all like and love, unless, of course, you're an Obama supporter. In 2007, then-Illinois Senator Barack Hussein Obama missed two votes on the student loan interest bill that he now wants Congress to extend. Kind of ironic, isn't it? Obama twice skipped the Senate vote on the College Cost Reduction and Access Act when the bill came up to the Senate floor, first in July and again in September of 2007, according to public records. The bill, introduced by Representative George Miller, a Democrat of California, and signed into law by President George W. Bush, first cleared the Senate in July on a 78-18 vote, with Obama as one of the only four senators who did not cast a ballot. Obama did not cast a vote again in September, after the House and Senate had ironed out different versions of the bill. He was on the conference committee assigned to merge the House and Senate versions of the bill, but he didn't vote. He issued a statement when the bill was signed by President Bush saying, "By investing in education, we are restoring America's competitiveness to the world, and today is an important step forward." Obviously not important enough to vote for it, but an important step forward all the less. Obama has made keeping student loan interest rates low a new priority in his administration, but as a senator, he neither voted for Miller's bill nor signed on as a co-sponsor. How terrible is that? Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin is the author of Officer's Oath, Why My Vow to Defend the Constitution Demanded That I Sacrifice My Career. It's a tell-all, first-hand account of his faith and patriotism, which ended up resulting in a court-martial, imprisonment, and then stripping of all military rank and privileges, including his army pension. All of this happened because he challenged Barack Obama's eligibility. In reading this, one has to ask the question, why would Barack Obama allow a fine fine military man like this to go to jail and lose his pension because this loyal patriot wanted proof of Obama's legitimacy as commander-in-chief, something the Obama administration has failed to prove to date, when he could have simply provided the documentation that the soldier would have done his duty. Lakin refused to obey deployment orders, arguing that Obama had not documented his eligibility for president under Article 2, Section 1 of the U.S. Constitution. He said, he writes, isn't why Obama did not just come forward with his key documents and be done with it. Instead, he ordered all of the important records to be kept under seal. He also pointed out that the documents released by the White House were digital scans and not official documents that would be acceptable as evidence in a court proceeding. He said, so tell me why. Who has something to hide? Lakin said. It would seem that the President Obama and sooner or later the voters of this country are going to make it clear that his stonewalling cannot continue. And as we're heading towards the top of the hour, the media blackout on the Obama dot baffles our pales posse. Detective Michael Zullo is surprised to say the least. He is chief investigator of the Sheriff Joe Cold Case posse, looking into the authenticity of President Barack Obama's long-form birth certificate. At a recent press conference, he presented his evidence, which he says points to forgery. He expected the media to follow up with questions about the evidence, but what he got was unabashed hostility. I really didn't expect them to come out of the gate attacking us as they did, Mr. Zullo said. Well, nearly a month has passed since July the 17th, the press conference, where Mr. Zullo presented evidence which he says proves that Mr. Obama's long-form birth certificate is a fraud. They didn't pick up on anything. They just don't want to know about this. We presented the most compelling stuff that we know we can prove, that the other side of it, we can prove it. This isn't speculation anymore. But Detective Zullo says the mainstream media have turned to bloggers with names like The Fogbo and Dr. Conspiracy to refute the team's findings. The media seem to be gravitating towards these people as if they are the sound voice in this matter, and they are anything but. They will give them special homage as far as their technical information, but they will not report on ours with any real accuracy, Detective Zullo said. The birth certificate controversy has dogged the presidency since the 2008 Democratic primaries. Then, when Mr. Obama battled against presidential hopeful Hillary Clinton, rumors swirled that he was not a natural-born U.S. citizen, and Mr. Obama released his short-form birth certificate to quell the controversy. But we know it is now forged. What is more insidious is the fact that the Hillary Clinton camp, when running against Obama in the 2008 candidacy, claimed that they had a file proving Barack Hussein Obama, Barry Serrato, was in fact a usurper. And we've all heard about Alan Keyes. We've all heard about the fight and the arguments throughout just about every court in the United States attempting to get the evidence placed onto the docket proving Obama is a usurper. And it's not over, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to dog Obama all the way to November the 6th. And it is people that have the evidence that will put it together. And mainstream media, sooner or later, must look at the evidence and come to the same conclusion that many others have. And the fact is, Barack Hussein Obama is not a legitimate president of the United States of America.
This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies on the TerraChat Radio Network.
You're either part of the problem or part of the solution. Well, regrettably, President Obama has become part of the problem, and Mitt Romney is the solution.
This year, in this election, we are called to reaffirm our values and our commitments, to hold them against a hard reality, and see how we're measuring up the legacy of our forebears and the promise of future generations. And fellow Americans, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, I say to you tonight, we have more work to do.
I represent a part of America that includes inner cities, rural areas, suburbs, and factory towns. Over the years, I have seen and heard from a lot of family, from a lot of those who are running small businesses, and from people who are in need. But what I've heard lately, that's what troubles me the most. There's something different in their voice, in their words. What I hear from them are diminished dreams, lowered expectations, uncertain futures. I hear some people say that this is just the new normal. Higher unemployment, declining incomes, and crushing debt is not a new normal. It is the result of misguided policies. And next January, our economy will begin a comeback with the Romney plan for a stronger middle class that will lead to more jobs and more take-home pay for working Americans.
This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies on the TerraChat Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
So, as we end at the top of the hour, is Barack Hussein Obama a legitimate president or not? I'll leave that for you to contemplate. We'll catch you back here next week.
And now a word from the president of the United States of America, President Barack Hussein Obama.
I just noticed that I jumped the gun here. Go ahead and move it up.
Now,
We
now return you to normally scheduled programming. Looking to contact the show by email, VOCR2012@gmail.com or VOCRradio.com. Come to the blog site and choose your poison of how you'd like to chat with us. So, VOCR2012@gmail.com for more information. You are listening to VOCR Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network. Hey there, got a minute? We all have busy lives, and sometimes we forget the small things in life that make many people happy. We work hard, we earn a great deal of money, or we hope to, and we spend a great deal of money. And yet there are those in our world who have no money to spend. There are those in this world that are fighting for survival as we speak. Give a moment to think of those people. Do what you can as a good human being. Do what you can to help their world be a little brighter. Good night, and we'll catch you back here on the next edition of VOCR Radio. This has been a TerraChat Network production. www.terrachatnet.com.